The Chupacabra started to gain notoriety in the early 1990s with sightings for the most part in South America, Mexico, on the U.S. border around Texas. Since then, people have made claims to see it as far north as Maine here in the United States. It's been described as a hairless dog-looking creature with the agility of a kangaroo and the weight and girth of a small black bear. And they've been known to suck the blood out of goats and chickens and other animals. John Adolfi, curator of the Lost World Museum, acquired the mysterious Blanco, Texas Chupacabra and has it on display in Phoenix, New York. And we're lucky to have a couple minutes with him this morning. How are you, John?
Good, Brian. How are you? Good to be here.
Not bad. We do thank you a lot for your time. Where is Phoenix, New York?
Phoenix, New York is just ever so slightly west and north of the city of Syracuse, so we're central New York located.
Can you start off, tell us a little bit about the Lost World Museum, why you started it, and what people can find there?
Well, it started in 1992. I remember seeing in the Guinness Book of World Records that one of the tallest men that ever lived was Goliath of the Bible, and they got him at around 9 feet 9 inches. And I thought to myself, man, wouldn't that be cool to be able to behold what a 9-foot-9 man would look like, you know? And that just sort of generated a whole bunch of ideas of taking certain stories, historical figures, and bringing them to life. And I just sat on that and incubated it for a number of years. And then in 2005, we decided to resurrect that idea. But the idea kind of meandered, as a lot of ideas do, and we became interested in this creation-evolution debate that's going on. So we decided to, feature this debate within the framework of our museum.
And we're kind of making this segment on this Chupacabra. You guys are the only ones with, I guess, a taxidermy specimen of this in the world?
Yeah, it's the only complete taxidermy specimen in the world, and we have it. Matter of fact, had some woman come up to me recently, and she looked at me after she realized the magnitude of what this was and what I had, and she said, "Why is it that you have it?" And I said, "You mean as opposed to the Smithsonian?" She says, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, I guess I knew what the man wanted, and I got it there quicker than anyone else," and that was some money for, his family and to help support him.
You've seen this thing up close. Can you describe a little bit about what you see? I mean, we hear all these different reports, maybe a little bit of rat, maybe a little bit kangaroo, maybe a little bit dog. What do you see when you look at this?
Okay. When I look at it, I see something that resembles probably a coyote more than anything else. That's what I see. It's gray, sleek, almost completely hairless. There's not like huge patches of fur. It's just pretty much evenly, what little hair is there is evenly interspersed on its legs a little bit and very little bit on its torso. It's got yellow eyes. Now, it has been replaced with glass eyes, but originally the beast had yellow eyes, and the fangs were slightly longer than a normal coyote, so says Jerry Ayer at the Blanco Taxidermy School in Blanco, Texas.
So to this point, biologists and people that work in parks and stuff like that, they call this a myth?
Well, let me take you back to 2006. I was at a corn roast down in the southern part of New York State, in Berkshire, New York, which is just outside of Ithaca. And the father of who is a friend of mine, of his, told me about this mythical beast that his son's friends found. And I wouldn't have listened to him except for I knew him, and I knew there must be something to the story. And he said this difficult word to say, Chupacabra. I spent all weekend trying to get it. For some reason, it just didn't come easy. Anyhow, I met with his son. I met then with the two young men who captured this thing, and their story was that they were going out for pizza one Friday, and they saw this thing hop across the road. It was small. It was a juvenile. Cornell University said that it was 4 months old. And so they got out of their car, and their sister had shown them on the Internet what a chupacabra looked like previous to that. So they had that in their memory banks, and they went after that thing. They said that they chased it for about a half an hour, observed it, chased it, and sure enough, it did hop like a kangaroo. To them, it looked like a cross between sort of like he said a mangy coyote, a greyhound, like a fox, you know. They finally tired it out, and they took a blanket, and they bagged the thing, and then they stuck it out the window and ate pizza on the way back home. And so they had this thing, and they observed it for an entire day. Matter of fact, this is the only quote-unquote chupacabra that has ever been in captivity, and hardly anyone knows about it. Matter of fact, the press panned them, and here's my point, you were asking the question. They called the DEC. The DEC said to them, oh, what you got there is a chupacabra. And then they said, there are no such things as chupacabras, and that was the end of the conversation. When they contacted the press was unimpressed and never followed up with them. So they had this thing in the back of their mom's horse trailer, and it was docile. It didn't drink or eat, didn't make any noise. And so finally, the older brother comes home, and they didn't know what to do with it, so he just, you know, shot it, and there it laid. And then it was whisked off to Cornell University and its decayed state. They got interested for about 15 minutes, and then I guess their interest waned. And before they threw the bones away, my friend's son went and picked it up, and then I purchased it off these young men. So that's just one example of what the authorities, at least in 2006, had to say about something that's described as what we just shared just earlier.
Can you tell us a little bit about what little lab results that have been taken from the chupacabra?
Yeah.
Can you tell us what we know so far, like when it comes to skin and blood and DNA?
First, let me just interject here the consistencies and then the inconsistencies just from the photographic. We've got 45 photographs in our chupacabra exhibit in our museum currently. Some are alive, some are dead. Some of the best photographic evidence that we've been able to gather. What I'm able to gather from everyone's testimony and from the photographs and the videotape that we've seen is that the chupacabra really is a kind of a name that's going to encompass a lot of different variations with the whatever it is. Because in one respect, we have usually the skin is bald and gray, okay? That doesn't vary too much, but we do have one chupacabra that is woolly, kind of a woolly skin, a woolly hair, I should say. When they have been tested, some come back with mange, okay? One in particular in 2006, I followed it all the way to the South Carolina University that tested it, and when I spoke to the professor there, I asked him, I said, does this have mange? And he said, no, we tested it. It does not have mange. And then I asked him, how do you account for the loss of hair? He said to me, we're going to call it a hair defect. So, similarities. Similarities. Okay. We've seen yellow eyes twice. We've seen blue eyes once. The fangs seem to be a little bit more pronounced. That could be a variation just within the species and no big deal. On mine, the neck, the skin is scrunched up. That's unusual for any type of animal, at least a coyote-type creature. Some have slightly longer legs. Some have slightly shorter or very much or more pronounced shorter legs that may account for the hopping gait that these that a few of them have been known to do. Now, some hop, some don't. You know, there's pups, there's mom and dads. Mine's a female, full grown, 37 inches long, may have weighed somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 40 pounds. The one that was just recently killed down in Tennessee this last September, he was a pup. Oh, it may have been around 15 pounds, 15 or so. Mine, they're going to be looking at enzyme. They're going to do enzyme tests, DNA. They're going to measure every single bone on the creature, see if there's any variation. They're going to also look at the contents in its stomach. And there may be other tests that I am unaware, haven't been disclosed yet, what they're going to be doing to it. 600 hours, they said, that it'll take to complete the testing. And then they will give us the results, and we will then announce those results.
If there's one fact, I guess, in this whole thing, it is that there are a lot of animals left dead, bloodless, with the life sucked out of them. Has there anybody actually witnessed a chupacabra do this to one of these animals?
Only the after effects. And matter of fact, when they get into a neighborhood and they start doing what they do, it is good to get rid of it as soon as possible. Because there's at least two accounts that I'm aware of where they went in there and they would killed somewhere around 50, 60 chickens. And there's one family of them in Tennessee, more than one. There's another pup, at least, and another mom or a dad, where one was killed just recently. And there's a woman down the road from where these have been spotted that has 100 cats. And she is complaining that some of her cats are missing. And the man who killed one of them said that the cats that he normally sees around his house, strays or whatnot, they're no longer there. They've been known to kill kittens, cats. So, yeah, when they're in the area, you want to get rid of them.
And no one's actually seen this. Is there a way that you guys can test, like, the DNA that's left on these the dead animals, the dead chicken, with, like, the chupacabra that you have? I mean, there's got to be some matchup with cells or DNA or even saliva or something that could put those two together. Has that ever been done?
No. No. That's, matter of fact, that's a good point. I don't think anybody's ever even thought of that one yet.
I may have solved the mystery of the chupacabra.
Exactly.
I guess I would say if you wanted to prove that the chupacabra did do this to these animals and it just wasn't some crazy vampire cult.
Right.
It sounds like in some circles they are legitimate excuses, blaming it on, you know, just crazy vampire cults.
Well, yeah, you can get a little bit carried away with this stuff if you really want to be conservative regarding how you want to approach this whole mystery, okay? It seems, though, that in the area, like in Coleman, Texas in 2005, Reggie Legault was having problems in his neighborhood where neighbors were missing a lot of chickens. And so he set out a trap, and sure enough, in August of that year, he caught one in the trap, and it was still alive. And I guess he let it die or put it to rest, and then threw it away. Did take one photo before he did it, and that's the one that was a woolly chupa. So it seems that once they do get rid of them, the animal population seems to stabilize as far as what they're attacking and whatnot. I mean, mine, it was getting into a farmer's barn, and so his cousin helped him out by putting some rat poisoning in there, and the next morning, that's what they found. They found this chupacabra, I guess you could call it. So, and that's the one that we have.
To date, there's never been a human attack?
No, I'm not going to say that, because if you go down to Puerto Rico, they'll tell you all about, attacks down there. But these things look like a cross between a bat and a mammal and a space alien, the way they describe them down there. They fly around like Superman and and they disappear and they're vicious.
Wow, this is one of those subjects we could probably go all day on. But we do appreciate your time. John Adolfi right there from the Lost Museum in Phoenix, New York. You guys have a website, right?
Yes, we do. It's www.lostworldmuseum.com, and we also have a fan page on Facebook that you can follow us on.
Okay, we will look you up there.
Great.
Thank you a lot for your time, John.
Thank you. You have a great day.